And we're going to read from Psalm 1. We're going to read the entire psalm. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask that you would allow your word to speak and men in flesh to be silent. We ask that you would allow us to be encouraged, that, Father, we would feel your peace. Sanctify us in the truth, for we do know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I guess one of the questions that I'd have for you this morning, in all honesty, is how is it going? How's life treating you? And I'm not being cynical, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Are you happy? Are you encouraged? Are you finding peace? You know, life is a struggle. This morning we had Bible study, and in our Bible study we always do prayer, and I'm not going to mention the prayers because whatever's said in there is private. But I just want to kind of give some numbers. We prayed for 12 people for health. For health. Going through some difficulty. We had two prayers for spiritual, to deal with spiritual issues, mental anguish. And then we really had two of them that were more financial. And then you turn around and you understand that we even prayed for marriages, because I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but marriage isn't always the easiest thing in the world. I mean, I try, but my wife just doesn't get it. I told somebody that earlier this morning. I said, well, you know, I've been patient with my wife. And then they said, I think it's you. And I said, that's true. My wife has been patient. But all seriousness, life can be a struggle, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. Was there a Debbie in here? Oh. I changed it, see? Not negative Ned or Nancy. But seriously, the last few weeks we've talked about a few different things. We've talked about the love of God and working in our lives. We talked about, we actually had a marriage not long ago on a sermon on marriages. And the fact of it is that we understand if we're on this earth as an adult for more than 1 or 2 days, we can run into roadblocks. We can run into difficulty. And this is real. And maybe I'm not going to preach in a standard Lutheran way. Maybe I'm not going to sit there and go through some great theologies and some great doctrine. But honestly, that stuff is extremely important. But this is life. When I start realizing that there are so many people battling health issues, when I start to come to the understanding that there are people that are battling spiritual issues, and if there are people that are actually dealing with financial struggles, God is not just the God of part of our lives. He is our complete God, and he understands and he knows what we need. But prayer is a powerful tool. It's for us in reality to communicate to God the Father through Jesus Christ what is going on in our lives. It's not a gossip ring. It's not kind of a prosperity thing. Is in all honesty communicating to God what we have need of, or what we may think we have need of, and him actually interceding to give us what we truly need. The author of this psalm is not really known. The date of the psalm is not really known. But it's a powerful psalm. I think it speaks volumes into where we stand in this day and age, in the time that we live in our successes, because if we're to be honest, all of us may have some difficulty, no doubt, but we also have successes where God has blessed us. It might sound carnal, but what? If we have a pair of shoes on our feet, we're doing better than a majority of the world. So we are blessed. Yes, that's a material thing. But in this nation, we have a freedom to worship our God and to come here. Whether we believe it or not, we have a freedom to speak our voice even on the streets. We have many blessings. I would say a majority of us have a roof over our heads at night. Maybe it's not to my liking. Maybe it's not a 30-year architectural. But the fact of it is, it provides shelter. Not many of us are losing weight because we don't have the means to eat. And I'm not saying it's not a real problem. There is that. But I think we can stand above and say, we are blessed. But there is also still difficulty. And see, one of the things that I think we have a tendency, and I would say it more personally, is I've experienced this. People will come to you as a pastor and they'll say, hey, I have this issue in my life and this. Oh, I can't complain. I can't complain because so-and-so has cancer. Or so-and-so has lost a loved one. And mine is just a back injury. Your problem is real. Because you're living it. Your problem is real because you are in the midst of it. And I want you to know that I care. And I want you to know that even if for some goofy reason I was all worked out in my own mind that I didn't care, God does. That's above and beyond anything else. Your problem is real. Your struggle is real because you are going through it. Where do we turn? That is the question. Where do I turn? Where do you turn? Where do we turn in the midst of our difficulty? Where do we turn in celebration of our victory? To our God. The psalmist comes across very strongly. He says, blessed, highly favored is the individual who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or the lawless. Where are we getting our information from? Where are we getting our strengths from, our help from? Do we go to others? Do we go to the human side? Or are we seeking from God the Father to give us answers? Do we seek from the power of His Holy Spirit to encourage us? Are there certain things, and this is what I would be guilty of, are there certain things that, you know, that's kind of God's territory, but not this one. I got to fix this one. Maybe it's something to do with, let's be carnal for a moment. Maybe it's something to do with our business. I'm guilty of that. Even in my private life in business, I'm always trying to figure out how can I fix this next budget problem? How can I deal with this? And it's so funny because, to be honest, and it just came to me that whenever we have this issue in the church, the first thing I do is go to prayer. Well, is he a part-time God? As I've said before, does he care about 10% of our lives? As long as we give that 10%, we're good. Where do we get our counsel? Is it from those that don't know God? Is it from those in reality that are lawless, that aren't seeking for our betterment? And this speaks directly to a Christian. Where do we find our help? Please do not think that I'm trying to say that we should never seek for professional help in any part of our life, whether it be financial, whether it be, you know, the advisory of a lawyer, whether it be, I'm not trying to be that radical. But who's stepping up beside you as you go through this process? Who's stepping beside you as you're dealing even with mental health issues? Is it that professional and someone that's a spiritual guide, an encouragement, an enlightenment? I've been asked a few different times since I've been in this congregation to give a recommendation for, say, a counselor. And the first thing that I always come to is I'm not necessarily, especially with serious issues, and you may say I'm wrong for this, I'm not necessarily looking for a Christian counselor. I'm not. I'm looking for a professional counselor who is a Christian, that would have a full understanding of the human mind, would have a full understanding of the dynamics of someone's past life and what it can affect and how it can cause and effect, all these other things that are going on, but happens to have a very strong faith and a belief in Jesus Christ. This, to me, is extremely important. And maybe certain individuals are just going through a time where they need some professional counsel in a serious part of their life, but the reality of it is they are they also receiving on the spiritual side? Are you being encouraged? And I'm not saying it has to be me. We are brothers and sisters in Christ that we can also go to one another in privacy and in confidence and ask for help, that we can be encouraged. There are 200 that say they belong just to this congregation alone. I cannot be there for everyone at every single moment. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. And I'm not saying that in a complaint. I'm saying that we are also here to help each other. Maybe my personality might be a little strong for some. But there is someone here that God will bless and gift to have a personality that'll blend well with you. Where is our counsel? Are we seeking from the counsel? And we have a tendency, because this word is wicked, to make it sound so terrible, and it is rough. But really, it means a lawless one. He says, are you getting all your worldly counsel, but in reality not receiving anything of God? He says, this individual doesn't stand with the sinners. Doesn't mean that now there are no sinners in this building. We are all sinners saved by grace, and I am the chief, but I can't take that title because Paul already took it, so I'll have to come up with my own. I'm a really good one. Kind of a double negative, isn't it? A really good sinner? He said, but he doesn't stand in that way. In other words, he doesn't live in this active way of sinfulness. And really, then he goes beyond that. He says, not only are they lawless, not only are they continuing in their sinfulness, he says, but they also now become scoffers of God, making mockery. Making mockery. How receptive have we been as a church? And I'm not just talking about this one building. All of our churches. Christendom. Let's go beyond the apostolic side. Let's go beyond just the Lutheran side. How have we actually been receiving and accepting and encouraging in people? I remember being in seminary and really reading one of Philip Yancey's books, and it was talking about a woman that had become with child and she needed help. You can't say pregnant, I was told one time, so I always try to say become with child. Sounds a little more proper. And someone had asked her, some of you that read the book probably remember this, why don't you go to the church for help? And her response was, why? I already feel bad enough. Sometimes we have a tendency to gauge or to judge people in the middle of their conflict. And I'm not saying that if you have a difficulty that you have to, you know, whether it be in the health, whether it be in the financial, whether it be in the spiritual, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your relationships with your children, that you have to come to the whole body. But don't be afraid to speak with someone, because you're not alone. I've been married for 29 years, and it is by the grace of God that my wife still puts up with me. And that's not a joke. I've been married for 29 years and I still don't have the foggiest idea what to do. And that's okay. God has blessed me in the position I feel at Zion. We've done fairly well. It has nothing to do with me. I can prove it to you. God has blessed Camp Lutte under our leadership immensely, where we've, and this is carnal, but become debt free. in my personal life, I'm a failure with finances. Where do we go? Where do we go? I'm not going to lose anything. I'm not there. But I'm just saying, I always laugh because when I ran businesses and I ran them in a secular world, if I could ever run a business like God blessed us with at Lutti, I would have been very well off. But boy, we pray about Lutti a lot, don't we? I remember an elder came to me and asked me, I wasn't even a pastor at the time, and he asked me, should I pray for my business? And this man was, he had an important task of employing probably at least a dozen families. Should I pray for my business? Absolutely. Because there is a responsibility as the believer to continue to provide through your business to all of these families that are really getting their sustenance from you. That is a huge responsibility. Absolutely pray for your business. But how would you pray? Father, may you be glorified in and through this business. May I continue to reach people even through this business, even through this ministry, even through anything else. May I continue to reach people for the kingdom of God, that they would know you. This is something that really he comes across. Is our counsel coming from the world, or is our counsel coming in reality from the scriptures? Is our counsel coming from the power of the Holy Spirit? Is our counsel really coming from God himself? And I'm just picking on things that I know. You have things that I don't even understand. If you sit with the wicked and continue in reality from the counsel of the sinners, I think really what verse 1 says, then you also will become a scoffer. Psh, that stuff don't work. Psh, that's just empty. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, God is real. And he cares. And he loves you personally so much, he gave your only begotten son. He gave you his only begotten son that you may live. He doesn't just care about your life when you get to heaven. God knew in reality how much you would cost. You would cost. And he said, I'll pay it. You're not alone. Don't feel because you're going through a difficulty that you struggle alone. Because I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I can promise you this. God has allowed me to struggle a lot. But yet he has also shown himself to be consistent through it all. That I would not look to myself, that I would look to him. He says, but delight in his law. And this is just such an interesting thing. And I want you to take this with a grain of salt. And I'm not saying it specifically in this text here, but it can definitely be found. When the scripture talks about the law of God, it's not always just talking about the Ten Commandments, though it's very inclusive. When the scripture talks about the law, it also talks about the workings of God. Because can God be contained with 10 commandments, as we say? And so really he says, this individual, he says, delight. He says, but turn around and delight in his working. What will God reveal to you through this? What will God reveal to us going through this process? I remember one time, it's just so crazy. Because I turn around and I start wondering, why doesn't God get me out of these situations? And I told a lot of you this. I was at seminary and I was so frustrated. And, you know, Pastor Jay was there and he doesn't like it when you say his name, but he's not here to stop me so I can say it. And he said, brother, what's going on? And I said, I can't figure out why God doesn't just get me out of this situation. He says, well, do you pray about it? And I said, of course I pray about it. I'm a Christian. He goes, how do you pray? So when you have difficulty in your life, I'm going to ask you that question. How do you pray? And I said, well, here I am in the midst of something. So, Lord, get me out of this. He says, change your prayer. And it's been a lesson to me all my life. I said, change my prayer. He says, yeah, pray, Lord, get me through this. That I may learn what I must learn going through this. that we would be tried by the fire, that we would be refined, that we would have a stronger value. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may our situation never be wasted. May we never wish a situation in our life, but may we learn what we must learn going through this situation, that we can encourage the body, that we can help another. He says, do you delight in the workings of the Lord? I'm not saying God gave a situation. God never gave me cancer. I don't believe that. But he allowed it to bring honor and glory to him, and I learned more going through that process than I learned in anything else. I remember one time I was at one of the youth events out at Lefty, and I was wearing a bracelet that one of my kids gave me, and it said, cancer sucks. And this person was pretty offended by that bracelet. They said, why are you wearing that bracelet? I smiled. I said, because it's true. How would you know? Seriously, that's how it went. I was like, well, after 38 chemo treatments, you kind of figure it out. Cancer sucks. Ooh, you shouldn't say that behind the pulpit, eh? I'll say it over here. Cancer sucks. And it's not a joke. But God uses those experiences to encourage us, to strengthen us. Ultimately, at that point, I can say, if God took me from this earth, I would have been fine with that, because he gives strength in that time also. Heaven is not a consolation prize. It is a victory. But I remember God giving me those words that my brother spoke to me a long time ago, and I remember sitting upstairs saying, Lord, I don't want this. My wife and I praying together, we don't want this. But we pray that it can be used to bring honor and glory to you. And God has allowed that to open doors in ministry that I know I would have never had before, where people have turned me away to visit them, but when they heard I've been through it, they've let me in. There's a purpose. Your family's going through difficulty. When they get through this on the other side, as they're going through it, they are a living testimony, and also you can encourage another. He says, delight in the workings or the law of God. He says, and meditate on it day and night. And it's an amazing thing, because when we talk about the law, we're always running to, you shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against the neighbor. And you shall not covet. That's what we always talk about with the law. Wouldn't it be great if that just consumed all the workings of God? Wouldn't that be great if we could just nail it down to 10 and say, this is it? Jesus kind of brings it to a higher call when he says, this is the law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, or love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this. They come to Jesus and they ask him about this great commandment. They say to him, Master, which is the greatest commandment in all the law? And Jesus himself answers, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. He says, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus says, not Jesse, not Luther, Jesus, on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. You have a problem? Are you having struggles? Are you having difficulties? Do you find love from your neighbor? Do you find encouragement? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a responsibility as ambassadors of this gospel to love those that are around us, to encourage. We have a responsibility in reality to bring the truth, yes, but God will bring truth. God will bring correction through his word. It doesn't say you do it. His word will do this. I am so thankful that my God loves me right where I'm at. Can we do the same for one another? Can we love people right where they're at in the difficulties that they're going through? Or are we so stuck on tradition? Are we so stuck on translation? Are we so stuck on man's systems or systems we believe to be a way to salvation? Or do we actually listen to Jesus when he says in the Gospel of John, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." As I have loved you. God gave of himself for you. Very selfless love. The individual that loves in this way, the individual that follows after Christ, the individual that is strengthened by the Spirit of God, he is like a tree that is planted beside the stream. He never runs out of nourishment. That's what Jesus says. He is that living water. He says that in the New Testament very strongly. He's like that one that is by the stream. He continues to yield fruit even in the season. And this means in good times and in bad times. Even what it says in the scripture about preach that word in season and out of season. You know what that means? When it's popular and it's not. Keep preaching the truth. Keep loving the people. Keep encouraging the people. Because that's what we need. We don't need man's law. We don't need the understandings of men. We need in reality the Spirit of God, the truth of his word, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit working in our lives that we can actually interact with people, to love them. He says this individual that's tied in is like the one by the stream continuing to bear fruit. He says, his leaf does not wither. Continued endurance. How are you going to get through this? In and through Christ. I can't fix it. I can't. But God can. And will. How? I don't know. Will it be to your liking? Don't know. I was healed. But I'm going to die another day. I'm not so foolish I don't realize that. I just prolonged it. But God will be glorified. He says, the wicked, they're not that way. And this, I think, is really true. He says, those that don't have this understanding, those that are not founded in Christ, he says, they aren't this way. He says, they're actually like the chaff that blows in the wind. And this is given to the old farmers of the old day where they take the grain and they shake it up and throw it in the air and the chaff was so light it'd blow away. But the grain stays. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we the grain or are we the chaff? When we're going through this process, when we're going through these difficulties, are we being blown away or are we grounded in Christ? He says, therefore, these individuals that don't have this hope, he says, they won't stand in the judgment. We're not saved by our own righteousness. We're not saved by our own works. We're not saved by our denomination. We're not saved. Now, I know people kind of get a little upset because I rip on denomination. I'm a Lutheran. And I believe in the Lutheran doctrine. But Lutheranism will not save me. It is that doctrine of saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. It is not by my righteousness, not by my works. And if they took that title off the wall out there and it says Lutheran and they got rid of it, I would still continue to preach the same message. He says, those that don't have this hope cannot stand in the judgment. He says, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. And really this means these that are blending in. It's not a judgment. I pray that we all know Christ. I pray that we all understand that personal gift that he has given for each and every one of us. I pray that we understand, no matter who we are, our sin debt is paid by that confession in him. And if there are some on the outside, please be encouraged. God loves you. And he's happy that you're here. He's happy that you came to hear. But know that he gave his life for you. Believe in his gospel message that you are made clean through his sacrifice, that you are made pure and holy, that you stand before your God in and through Christ as redeemed, Even those that blend in, he calls to. He says, for the Lord knows the way of righteousness. And that's Jesus. By no other name. He says, but in reality, the way of the wicked, man's way, self-righteousness, that'll fade. That'll perish. So do we have difficulties? Yes. I think each and every one of us does. Where do we turn with them? Not to man, but to God. Today we're encouraged to come here and partake of communion. It's not a mere trinket. It's not a mere symbol. You in reality are partaking in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he has given everything for you.